Welcome back to Killer Fun, where we explore the intersection of crime and entertainment every other week. I'm Christy, and today I have the second episode of Bonus Outtakes for us. When I started looking at the material I had for a bonus episode, there was so much of it, I decided to just go ahead and split it into two so you get fresh content. While we are on a brief hiatus, we had some holidays. Jackie's got a really demanding class that she's taking just in January. So she's a little busy. I'm a little busy. I need a little bit of a break. She needed a little bit of a break. But that doesn't mean I don't have fresh new content for you, because I do. I have outtakes from our episode on White Collar, Pilgrim, Tower Heist, Veronica Mars, and our hometown Christmas episode. So this first set of outtakes is from White Collar, which is a show that Jackie and I both loved. I had never seen it. She had seen it when it was on the air. We decided to cover it for the show, and I totally binged it. It is a delightful show about a con man who becomes reformed. It's just delightful, and everybody's so pretty. Let's see, I lose my way a little bit as I'm talking about some things, which is always fun. We found a news icon on our Facebook app, and we talked just a little bit of politics, nothing too salacious or incendiary. Jackie shares her feelings on eBay, and we talk about the origin story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which is really fun. Where was I going with that? I don't know. Ooh, it's really fun.
It's fun. Woo-hoo.
Oh, there's a new icon on the Facebook app.
See oh.
That? Look at that. It's news.
News.
That's a great idea. I hope that it is maybe curated outside of the regular algorithm. Maybe just by top news.
That's good.
That would be great. Like, what do you see? Let me see yours. Do we see the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
Nope, we don't.
Oh, not quite.
Okay, so it is personally curated, but the third one's the same.
Uh-huh. Fourth one's not. Huh. Not quite the same.
No. Yeah. So it's still a little curated. Like, here's one on cats. Oh. Definitely curated. It knows me well.
Oh, yeah. Disney World. I bet that's not on yours.
Nope. But this one is, because I had done research into the Boogaloo people.
Oh,
trying
yeah.
to explain to my dad how these Hawaiian shirt people work. See, okay, there's the hill. You had that.
Yeah.
So it's just further down.
Yeah. Well, and of course it brought me something from about Pete Buttigieg, because somebody said, what did you think about the Pete Buttigieg? I'm like, Pete Buttigieg was mean. He went to a battle of wits and fought unarmed people. I was pretty proud of myself.
Oh my god, he killed it on Fox News. I was like, you go, man.
There's somebody subversive on the Fox News stuff, mm-hmm. because they keep booking him.
Yeah, they keep booking him. He's all over the place. They think they can trap him. I think they think that he can be trapped and he can't.
No, he's too smart.
Well, he's way smarter.
A battle of wits with unarmed people.
He's down to earth in a way they think would fit their cadence, but
he speaks in a way that's so like,
he acceptable. Actually has, I hate to say that I don't think he's dumbed it down, but he has put a little bit more down to earth language to his, because on the campaign trail, I kept thinking, you gotta stop doing that. You have these quotes that are like quotable quotes, deserve in a book, and somebody ought to cite that in a paper. Like, you have these amazing things you're saying, but like, most of America doesn't get it.
Right.
They don't understand what you just said.
Right.
And they don't understand why that matters to them. And what I've seen recently is that he has dropped a lot of that language and dropped a lot of that and slowed his cadence down a little bit. To be able to express ideas that are actually pretty up here, but with sort of normal language. Yeah, we used to do exchange in Korea all the time because we had to pay our cash in our because we had to pay our rent in cash.
Oh, What kind of paper can I use? What kind of papers? Let me say that again. Well, they did talk about eBay.
They did talk about eBay. I don't like eBay.
No.
I mean, no offense to eBay, but I've just never liked eBay.
Yeah.
Their format, the way their website looks, I don't know. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's totally PC.
Yeah.
As opposed to Mac. Like, it just, that's,
that's just, totally fair.
It has this aesthetic and this feel that I'm like, eh. Mm-hmm. That just makes me a snob, but whatever. Or you just sell them on eBay. Just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Etsy.
Etsy.
So Burke impresses a rare book dealer because he knows that Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was based on Alexander Pushkin's The Tale of the White Princess and the Seven Knights. Oh, except Pushkin's tale was not that tale. His tale was the tale of the dead princess and the seven knights.
Oh.
Yeah.
The dead princess.
It wasn't the white princess. Is that what it was? The tale of the white princess and the seven knights.
But it was actually the dead princess.
It was the dead princess. So it's basically the same story.
Okay, that, so the storyline's kind of the same.
Yeah, except that, you know, instead of it being little men and, you know, dwarves mm-hmm. like you see in the Disney show, the Disney movie from 1937, I think is when Snow White came out. They were knights and men who protected her, and she does die the breaking of her glass, beautiful casket, mm-hmm. awakes her for her prince, which is rare for Grimm's fairy tales to have such a positive ending.
Yeah, but that's evidently, true.
Evidently, this was one of the happier endings.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, but Pushkin's tale was the dead princess, not the white princess.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, an insider trading I've always wondered about, because I feel like if you know people, that must be hard. Like, I don't understand it well enough to understand where it becomes I'm doing my research versus now I'm insider trading. I know where the polars are, but I don't know where the gray line is. Does mm-hmm. that make sense? Like, I know what is insider trading and what's not.
Right.
But I have a feeling that there's some sort of, like, progression. There's some sort of dimensional thing there. I feel like that's hard to understand. I don't know why.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you get direct information from somebody within the company who says things are about to go down and the media doesn't know about it yet, that's insider trading.
Well, and it is. But on the other hand, the media does find out about these things. What makes it different when the media finds out and reports it and the stock drops versus one person kind of knowing, like, not working in the company, but outside the company, they're researching and they find out something and then they decide, okay, that's not going
to
be good.
I think that's fine to like, if you've got, you've invested in a pharmaceutical company and you read a journal that says the efficacy of this drug has been disputed. That's your research.
Yeah.
That's not somebody within the company telling you.
Right. I just feel like there must, I don't know. This is a rabbit trail. I mean, it's like, I know what it is. I guess my question revolves around intention.
Okay.
If somebody works for the company and happens to tell you about their day, and then you go, I think that's a problem. Is that insider trading?
I don't think it is.
This is what I'm saying. Like, I know where the polar opposites are.
Right.
But I think that there's this gray line.
I think I'm working on this project and it's not going well and I'm sad about that. At cocktails is one thing. But at cocktails, mm-hmm. that same person saying, you need to sell your stock, that's insider trading.
Right. Which I feel like people could probably just do flippantly and not really realize that's what they're doing
all the time,
right?
I'm
where they're
sure.
like, oh my god, just get out, it's ridiculous. And yeah. then people do anyway.
I think people get caught up in insider trading accidentally all
yes,
the time.
Yes, thank you. I think that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah. And then there's the issue of the data.
Yeah, the data.
So some places like Germany says they can only keep that data for 2 months and then it has to be deleted.
Okay.
The
what
US,
data or is it getting? Like, only location?
Like location.
Just location.
Just location, but where you're going and where you've been. At least two of the U.S. companies that have big contracts keep them for a minimum of 7 years, which is much longer than your sentence.
Right. I feel like they should keep it for the length of your sentence because it is actually a punitive situation.
Right.
So I feel like as long as you have a sentence, they should just keep that data. Because if something were to happen and break parole, you as a person may want that data to show
your pattern.
That I wasn't there. Or that this is not my normal pattern. This was an isolated incident.
Right.
Or if you're prosecuting, you might be like, look, they're pushing the limits all of these times.
Right.
All of these times. So this is not somebody we can trust in this situation. They need to be, you know, in jail.
Right.
So, like, I could see how that would be sort of necessary. But,
I mean, if you're on your ankle monitor for 6 months and you don't have any issues, seems like that information should go away.
Yeah, like maybe somebody checks it, sees it. But I don't know, because I think I would want access to it. Because if something were to happen, like this ER situation.
Yeah, but you don't get access to it.
Well, that would be a problem.
Getting access to it.
Because I would want my lawyer to subpoena that and say, look, this was an isolated incident to an ER. There's been no other concerning activity. We can look at this and show you that she's been a model prisoner in this situation. I feel like that would be necessary. But my biggest fear is that somebody in this company decides, you know what would be an elegant way to help us make money? Is sell it.
Yep.
And then, you know what? Start advertising to them based on where they are.
Yep.
That would be the terrifying thing in my mind.
Well, I mean, I guess then our phones are our ankle monitors.
They are. That's exactly what they do.
So the Nazis didn't forge war bonds, but they did counterfeit money. This is kind of interesting in World War II. So Operation Bernhard was the idea that Nazis were going to forge British banknotes and then drop them over Britain to tank their economy.
You know, the Nazis were creative.
They were, and they duplicated their rag paper. They were able to reproduce the blocks to do the engraving, the prints. They figured out the algorithm for the serial codes to make them look really legit.
Really legit.
And then it kind of fell off to the side. They weren't going to drop them. That they were like, oh, maybe this isn't the right thing that we need to do to advance our cause at the moment. Later, when they revived it, it was to be able to advance the intelligence operations for the Germans. And they did quite well. They produced British banknotes until mid-1945, 132 million pounds at minimum.
What?
Maybe as much as 300 million pounds. And there were so many of them, and they were so good that after the war, Britain had to redesign all of their money.
Oh my gosh. Which still takes time. You can redesign it and it doesn't negate money that was already in circulation. And so, holy crap.
No. Huh?
You know, I feel like there was a guy in the German army who is probably like, I got a long-term con, who convinced somebody that this would be a good way to advance their cause, got them to get all the way, and then convinced them it wouldn't be a good cause and to abandon it. And then that way, him and some team could just abscond with all this cash that they had the German army create for them.
Well, you know, forger's gonna forge.
I think, you know what? What a good movie that would be.
It would be a really good movie.
It would be a really good movie to explore, like, that, like, fictional little story.
Mm-hmm.
Like a, you know, false origin story kind of thing.
Uh-huh. That would be really interesting.
That would be a really good movie. And I'm lazy. I don't want to do that. So if you're listening,
yeah, just
please.
Put us in the credits.
Just, yeah. Thanks. Just go ahead and make that for us. We'd be excited.
They were super close to being able to do it for U.S. money.
Ooh.
But weren't quite there when
everything went south for the Nazis, as it should.
As it should. Hand it to our little rag paper.
Say no to Nazis.
Our money is just hard for some reason. Why is it so hard? I don't know. I mean, I know they have
because they're good at it.
Yep.
Next, we have our outtakes from Pilgrim, the Hulu original that was a horror movie that was Thanksgiving-based. We don't often see movies that are Thanksgiving-based because it's a U.S.-only holiday. But this one, it was super fun. Really weird, but kind of interesting and enjoyable in some odd ways. To start off, I realize I don't know when I needed those hometown stories by for our Christmas episode. We'll get to those outtakes in just a little bit. I realized as I sat down to record, as I'm talking about it on the show, that I have no idea what the date is supposed to be that we need those by. And by the way, you don't have to wait to send those in. If you have an awesome hometown, you can send it to us any time of year, and I will hold it for our Christmas episode. If you have a cool hometown crime story, it can be murder, it can be stupid criminals, it can be theft, it can be something that happened to you, it can be something that is just a story that has always fascinated you, you can send those to us at killerfunpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us a direct message on Facebook, Killer Fun Podcast, Exploring the Intersection of Crime and Entertainment, or you can send us a direct message on Twitter at Killer Fun Pod. We talk about the death penalty a little bit. We talk about fish being fresh or saltwater, and how would somebody know that? And we talk about the connection between faith and fear. Famous.
Yes.
On our podcast, all you have to do is send that story.
Mm-hmm.
By a date? I don't know.
Oh, by a date? We don't know. Finally, pull the calendar. We need it. Well, you want to do by December 4th?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good. Okay.
All right.
Ethan mentions that there was the death penalty for stealing a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
Okay, the Constitutional Rights Foundation said that the death penalty does go back to as early as 1630 in the what is now the United States, and that it was imposed for many crimes, even minor ones like pickpocketing or stealing a loaf of bread.
Wow.
But it was uncommon.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Cody catches Ethan with a lie. He says, let me tell you about trout fishing off the Mayflower. And Cody busts out with, trout's a freshwater fish. She's right.
Yeah, she is.
I don't know how she knows that or why she knows that.
You know what? I don't know, but I mean, I would know why I know that because I lived in, well, the East Coast, right?
Uh-huh.
And it was very, very common for you to go hiking and then maybe just do a little fish and you catch a rainbow trout.
Mm.
Like very, very common. Like you could go for the day and do a little fishing in one of the rivers that you hike and, you know, and there's just so many. So a little fish fry with some trout. Oh, so I don't know where they were, but they definitely looked like they were East Coast.
Right.
So it would have been probably like a very common knowledge.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, fresh caught trout that's like out of the river. Go ahead and like do your thing and get it on the fire. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, really good.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so good.
There's also a connection between faith and fear.
Well, yeah, some pretty big connections there.
Yeah, that they don't understand well. They don't know if they're correlation or causation.
Yeah.
There's evidence both ways, but none of it's very clear.
Right, there's a lot of correlation, but I think what muddies it is because people have used. So it becomes a chicken or the egg situation because it's being used one way as a directional correlation,
mm-hmm.
but you don't know if it starts there or not.
Right.
So like I can know something about you and manipulate it. Now what caused what? Well, at some point it becomes like it doesn't even matter anymore because this exists here and I'm manipulating it.
Right.
But did I manipulate it because it existed previously?
Right. Or did I instill that
in you? Sort of instill it a little bit by taking one thing and perverting it in your own mind, mm-hmm. right? So I'm talking around the issue a little bit, but
I understand.
Because I'm being, you know, sort of careful. but it does. It gets kind of perverted a little bit. So, mm-hmm. you know, because I always tell people, okay, well, you know, like temptation. Okay, so that's like a similar situation. What comes, does something tempt you or are you tempted? Practically speaking, it doesn't matter. Once you know you're tempted, you have to respond to it. But because we know people are like that, people can maybe give you something that is tempting that you don't really realize is tempting by kind of shading it a little bit. Like, you know, snowing you over, con man kind of stuff, right? Like, this is where con men kind of come in. And they kind of have that perception. But actually, if you don't like Brussels sprouts, I can't tempt you with Brussels sprouts.
That's true.
So it does come from within, but I can use that information to pervert something else, right? To tempt you something, you know what I mean? Like, so
I do.
I don't know. I'm being kind of, boy, I'm on a roll with this today with this whole talking around.
That's all right. Well, let's talk about the three most common phobias that they think are related religiously.
Okay.
So doomsday phobias. If you're afraid of the end of the world, you know, religious belief might amplify that a little bit. So death phobias, thanatophobia is common, mm-hmm. but symbols like tombstones might be particularly troubling for people who have death phobias. They might, and there are some religions that don't even want you to like mark graves and things like that. And I didn't realize this, that ghosts are part of a death phobia. If you're afraid of ghosts, I never made that connection, that being afraid of a ghost is being afraid of death. So that's part of a death phobia.
Interesting.
Yeah. Which I hadn't really thought about that. And then numerical phobias. So some religions will place a lot of weight on the meaning of numbers.
Oh, right. Numerology sort of stuff.
So like 13 and 666 or...
2020.
We have legitimate reason to fear 2020.
It's so true. I mean, like, that's very... fear... Yeah. Cause so somebody might not be afraid of not belonging, but they get into a group that now you belong, and they heighten that sense of belonging, and they heighten your fellowship, and what they heighten your connections and your friendships, and they kind of make you build a life. And now you may not be afraid of not belonging, but originally sort of, but now you're afraid of losing what you have. And it looks like a fear of not belonging, but it's really just a fear of like losing what you have. But now you feel like I have to belong to the right thing. And so now we've kind of manipulated what was really just a basic human need into a phobia of being wrong. Wait, what? Did you ever have a phobia of being wrong? Well, no, not really, but now you do. But that's because I took a basic human need. I gave it to you just enough so that now you could be afraid of losing that. And then I amplified it to a place where now it's connected with this other psychological sort of construct. And now there's like a legitimate fear. And that's why it's so hard to directionally figure it out, because it's about manipulation.
Right. And really, most people don't end up with church phobias.
No, most do not.
Most people draw comfort and joy and community from religion and not fear.
Right. And I mean, we're talking about some, that's like religion. I think we should probably be clear. We're talking about some more cult-like sort of, you know, situations.
Right. Yes. You know. For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Another Thanksgiving-themed episode, even though this movie had a little less to do with Thanksgiving other than it was the time of year in which it was set, and it plays a little bit into the whole heist, and that movie is Tower Heist. Jackie tells us what she often smells like. We talk about how hassles in your life can cause stress. They may seem small, but there's more to it than that. We talk about how boring my safe is. We talk about cars, maybe our lack of understanding about why some people spend so much money on them. And Jackie tells us all about her opinions on pre-recording large event performances. And what is it called?
Ornament?
An entry. I'm like, what the hell is that? I know why you understood ornament. Golly. I know why you said ornament because I'm pointing at it. I'm like, what is that thing? It's an entry.
Walked in and just coffee hit me.
Coffee. Yeah, that's kind of just generally what I smell like, I think.
There are worse things.
Sometimes it's fresh and sometimes it's stale coffee.
Uh-huh.
You
know, yeah, coffee stale has a range, is
so do I.
Yeah.
That's such a strange concept because normally when I think of stale, I think of like hard and chewy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you can also think sludgy.
Uh-huh.
And old.
Oh. Yeah, like swamp. Like when it's in here and it evaporated a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's thicker.
Like, it's crunchy. It's crunchy coffee.
A crunchy coffee.
That would be very, very bad.
Yeah, it would be bad. It's fine, but I know I can vetch to you a little bit, and
I understand.
You do understand.
I do. And look, just, this is what it's been.
Yes.
This is why the small, even the quote small things. Uh-huh.
That's right. What did you call them? Hassles?
Hassles.
Hassles.
It's a thing. It's a big uh-huh. thing.
Yeah.
Chronic stress is worse than major life events.
Ooh.
Yeah, physiologically. So the number of hassles in your life really does matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you have hassles, you have higher cortisone levels, just uh-huh. in general. And sustained higher cortisone levels is far worse than the massive rush of cortisone levels in a major life event.
Huh. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So does... totally off topic. We'll get back to the podcast in a second.
We'll come back.
Does your outlook on life have an effect on how you handle those things?
There's definitely a bi-directional thing going on.
Uh-huh.
Your outlook may impact how many things you see as hassles, but we don't know for sure. Really, not so much that it really is all about that.
Okay.
People can just experience lots of hassles in their life, and then that can actually impact kind of your mood and all of that stuff. And then it's like, well, if you did have a positive outlook, we wouldn't know it. You're uh-huh. depressed now. So it's like bi-directional. So okay. yeah, your outlook on it, if you don't see things as hassles, could be good. That as long as it keeps your cortisone levels lower. But the truth is we don't, sometimes stressful things happen and people can have a good perspective on it, but it still is a hassle.
Oh, so your body is still reacting.
If you break your leg and you're like, that's all right, I got some books to read, and uh-huh. you're happy about it, your leg's still broken.
And it's still a stressor, even yeah. if...
Yeah.
Okay.
So like you could experience... So, but on the other hand...
So you can't beat it with a positive attitude.
Not completely.
Okay.
No, you can't completely. But for hassles, that's why I say it's bi-directional, because... If you have a positive outlook, you might be able to learn that those hassles and start to recognize hassles and go, oh, I'm going to apply positivity, okay. mindfulness,
uh-huh.
things like that. You can't really beat it with optimism, but you can with like mindfulness, you know,
okay.
like being able to not let it compile, right?
Okay.
But if you live a stressful life, you still live a stressful life.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. So that's why I say it's bi-directional.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah. But yes, having a more positive psychology, a more positive like outlook definitely helps.
Okay.
That's because some people have high trait level anxiety. And so everything is a hassle. And so then it's like multiplied, right? So that's not good.
Okay.
That's not good.
So you want to make sure that
What if you were like...
That would be my very disappointing safe that I have in my house. Anybody who broke into it would be super disappointed because it's got boring crap in it, like taxes and stuff. And it's just there in case the house burns down.
It's a strong box. It's just a fireproof box.
Really?
Like Eddie Murphy says in there when they show him what safe it is. And he's like, safe? You didn't say it was a safe, you know? You said it was like, what did he say? Something like a, I don't know, but he didn't know it was like a real safe. He thought it was like a fireproof box.
Kind of right.
Thing. And he was like, I can crack that. And then he was like, no, you got to get help.
So funny. Yeah. Yeah, but mine is like, you can't change the code on it.
Oh, okay.
So it can't be a code I can remember.
Gotcha.
I have it squirreled away.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah. It's, anyway. Enough about my, there's no jewelry in it, not a single piece. Nothing exciting in there, I promise.
Just all the things you need. That's for right. Life. I just, wow, with the cars. I just, yeah,
I know.
You know, I'm not in it. I'm not there.
I don't want to, I mean, I'm very particular about how much we spend on the cars we drive every day. I have like a certain amount that I'm like, over that is just stupid. Why are we paying that much for a car?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it if you have like maybe a big family or, you know, a specific reason why you need a very expensive car. But
usually the more expensive it is, it's like some small thing.
Well, it's small.
But it goes fast and that's awesome.
They're also expensive to maintain and insure.
Yeah. I will tell you, no heat or awfulness meant towards Mercedes. But, like, we went to drive a Mercedes one time because we were looking for a new car. And we were like, you know, we've never ventured into that market. And they do have some, you know, more reasonably priced options. And they're designed well. So, like, let's go. I like design, obviously. And I enjoy that. So, I'm like, okay, let's try it out. And the computer malfunctioned on the car on the access road. We ended up stalled in the middle and had to run. And then they had to come pick it up. And, like, they had to, like, reboot it. And it was stupid stuff. It was, like, stupid. And I was like, get me back my truck. Because you know what I could have done? I could have just hooked up to my truck and towed that sucker right out of here. Give me my truck back. Like, no, we're not doing that. Now, I know not all Mercedes or all higher end cars, but it was just like a moment for me. I was like, nope, never again. Mm-hmm. Not even going.
Well, there. You know what we do in our family is us and our Toyotas and Hondas are picking people up at the BMW and Mercedes dealerships all the time because their car is always in the shop and they always need a ride.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, we have a Ford F-150 and I love my truck.
You do love your truck.
I really do love my truck. And then we have a Honda. But I've had Hondas forever. And they are awesome, by the way. They are awesome. But you're right. The maintenance and everything is just more manageable. But I don't know. If I had like a ton of money, still not the car.
Really? Yeah.
Like it still wouldn't be the thing. Like,
yeah,
I can think of 100 other things that I would drop way more cash than is necessary.
Yeah, not the car.
But not the car.
Mm, that's fair. Her mother was.
Is she?
Held.
What is she? Is she a reporter? Is she a? Who is she?
I don't know. That's an excellent question. I have no idea. She's an editorial writer.
Okay.
Yeah, but she felt like she had to get like her. You know, that's. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I fully support.
I totally support it.
And I totally support pre-recording all live performances on events like this. By the way, like. Like, don't at me about the whole lip singing thing. Yes, I agree. They should lip sing every time.
Yeah, sure.
Some people get really angry. Some people really have a problem with this. And I'm like, you don't understand large events.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. I understand that. But when they stop in front of the Macy's store.
Yeah.
Like, let them sing.
No.
No.
No. Too many failure points on all that equipment.
Oh,
okay. It's really not. And they are in a weird spot.
Okay.
They're unstable. They're doing all of this kind of stuff. And then you have you have so many wireless and everything like that. And those event coordinators are not just your concert people.
Okay.
They are doing the tech and everything for everything.
Yeah.
They don't have time.
I wish that they would just not mic them up then. Like, let's not pretend they're really singing.
Aww.
If we know they're lip syncing, let's have them practice because some of them are not good.
No, some of them are not very good at it. Well, and some of them can handle having their mic turned on and kind of sing over a little bit and then like maybe come off of it if there's a problem.
If I could do an all or nothing, that's where I am.
Yeah.
Like, just don't mic them up. just let them lip sync and let's not pretend that they're really singing. Let's just enjoy the performance for what it is. But let's not mic them up and pretend.
Really? No, I like it on, like, for instance, Super Bowl. Like, Lady Gaga did it really well. Like, sometimes the mic is full on and it's like her. And then on the more high impact or when there's like major stage changes or things like that, they go to a pre-record because they don't want any kind of issue, right? So it's kind of in and out.
I'm fine with that for like the Super Bowl and Lady Gaga and people like that. For the people at the Macy's Day Parade. They don't need that. If you're going to pre-record it anyway, just take that level out. Oh, just don't even.
Yeah. I guess it's becoming more common to know that it's pre-recorded, so the magic isn't there, I guess. Yeah. But like, so Celine Dion, she sang the national anthem at the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. And it was pre-recorded. She lip-synced it.
Okay.
And people went nuts.
Oh.
And then they asked her about it. She was like, I was going to be far too nervous for that. Step off. There's no way I'm stepping out in the Olympics at the 100-year anniversary and singing. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? She was like, she kind of had the best reaction at all. I mean, every artist on the planet went, I get that.
Oh.
I get that. That the pressure.
Yeah, to get it right.
Oh my gosh, no.
Yeah.
You don't want to screw that up.
Okay. So it's Veronica Mars, The Gilmore Girls meets Magnum P.I., What's Not to Love. We talk about watching movies on airplanes. I ignore my own helpful notes. We talk about how San Antonio has its own set of 09ers, teenagers, and their access to beer. Jackie misremembers what episode of The Golden Girls she could relate to the first couple episodes of Veronica Mars. It's so much fun.
All right.
Man, I saw The Sandlot for the first time. This is a sidebar. On an airplane.
Oh, yeah?
Back when they showed movies on airplanes.
Oh, right. Like you didn't have a choice? Like that was the movie?
It was you watch that movie or you watch nothing.
Yeah.
And I watched The Sandlot and was very entertained.
Oh, I have been obsessed with this movie forever. In fact, the other thing that came out of that viewing was KJ turns to me and goes, ah, that's why you always say you're killing me, Smalls. Like, all of a sudden, these, like, phrases that I've used forever sort of, like, ding.
Uh-huh.
Like, yep, that's yep. What it's from.
So when it got canceled, fans sent 10,000 Mars bars. Let me say that again because it did not come out right. According to him, he did an interview.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It didn't print the. Oh.
It didn't print the name very well, so I can't see it. I realized that already and wrote it right here for myself. Dumbass I am.
It's one of those moments.
All right. There's a beach party, which was so funny. This doesn't have anything to do with what I'm going to talk about, but I loved it was written in code on the flyer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As to where the party was, and Veronica used to be able to read it, or was able to read it because she used to be a part of that group.
O-Niner.
Yeah, the O-Niners, which is so funny because in San Antonio, we talk about the O-Niners too.
Yeah.
Because it's a different zip code, but the same. Really the same. O-Niners. But that's neither here nor there. I thought that was very fun. But, you know, just because you're underage doesn't mean you can't get a hold of a keg now and again.
Apparently.
Especially
or so TV would make it seem.
Yeah.
And movies would make it seem. And it's not that hard, I guess, but it's not as prevalent, I think, as most movies and TVs make it seem.
I don't know. There were a lot of kegs at parties when I was in college.
That's college, though. Well, we're talking about high school.
There were a lot of kegs at parties when I was in high school.
Okay.
I didn't go to those parties because I wasn't one of those popular people, which is maybe why I'm like... was successful at relationships in my early 20s. I wasn't cool enough to go to those parties, but I know that they happened because I saw people hungover in school.
It's true. I never really saw many kegs. Really, at the heart of it, though, I think people were far too lazy to have to carry that. That takes work. Kegs are not light. It takes work. Multiple people.
You gotta find somebody to get it for you.
You have to return the keg. I mean, some people just put a piece of wood on top of it, make it a new coffee table, but, you know, whatever.
Well, if you want your deposit back, you have to return it back.
Yeah. So it's just kind of funny. It's like, no, people, that's too much work. Just buy a 12-pack.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, and plus, if you didn't bottom out the keg, then you wasted a bunch of money. You might as well have just bought beer you could keep in the fridge.
Yep. But I did think it was funny that when the PCHers came and crashed it and they tapped and they were like, oh, this is good beer. I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Respect.
Uh-huh.
At least you bought good beer.
Yeah, exactly.
There's this one episode where Sophia's boyfriend apparently robs a bank. And the girls find the duffel bag, which he's keeping at Sophia's place, in her room specifically. They find that it's full of money and they kind of surmise that he's robbed this bank and blah, blah, blah. No, wrong episode. That's one where they kind of played in the money. But there's another episode that I was at. The one episode that I should be thinking about is...
And then I have just a few things from our hometown Christmas episode. We have a little pre-show chat where we talk about some things. That's always fun. A little window into what it's like to hang out with us, which is pretty much what the show is like. We're pretty transparent when it comes to that sort of stuff. But we have a theme normally on the show. So sometimes we talk about other things, and that's kind of fun to hear too. And I mess up repeatedly to very funny, very irritating effect. I was the one who was irritated. I hope you'll laugh about it. Anyway, so you don't need any water or anything?
No, I'm good. Okay.
I feel like it's been a day. I feel like I haven't even done that much. It's just been...
I legitimately did nothing today.
Oh, good.
But well, you deserve it. I watched Ken do a lot. I did bake cookies.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I wish I would have saved half the dough because the dough is always better. Always better. And I always like the dough better than the cookies.
Uh-huh.
But they liked them, so I was like, fine.
Well, that's good.
And they're dairy-free.
Nice. So, yeah, nobody has any issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. I used rum.
Oh.
Well, because I didn't have any...
Who needs milk when you have rum?
I didn't have any baking powder. So, and I wasn't going to use butter or milk. So I was like, oh, crap. So I did the rum because that'll puff it up just enough, right? Because the alcohol starts to bubble through, but then it cooks out. So that's... So they're not like just... hard and flat, but they're not as fluffy as like a legitimate, like use all the butter and the milk and the whatever, right. But they're dairy free and the alcohol cooks out and then they still have like a little, it's just a different texture. It's weird.
Sweet. Sweet.
That's okay. The dough was fantastic.
Yeah, I've been so good. The rum hadn't cooked out by that point.
Nope. It was pretty yummy. Man, I should make another batch. Okay. It's my own recipe, so
it's
just easy to whip together.
Yeah.
I'm no baker. Probably somebody could look at it and go, oh, if you just did this, it would be like a much more fantastic cookie, but... Yeah.
Well, but you like your cookie the way it is.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah.
I like you. You don't need no stinking British baker to tell you how to make your cookies right.
Rum, vanilla, chocolate, all the wonderful things. So what did you do? I cut you off.
No.
What did you end up doing today? Because you said the day like flew by and you felt like...
I made dessert for tonight. I made breakfast. I cleaned and did stuff. And
just the day kind of flew by.
And we were supposed to watch Elf and we never did that. Oh. And... I'm like, well, I guess tomorrow's another day.
Hey, yeah, why not? Do I need to hit? Go.
I don't know. I can't remember if I think I started it.
Yeah, you did.
Okay. Thank you. I was just going to ask. Did you check and make sure I started that? Because no, I think I did.
I actually read it as it came across your mind. I don't know how. I saw it. It was like a ticker tape, like headline.
Yeah, I don't know if I started that or not. Yes, exactly. Aw. Oh, and did you know that 5 years ago today we became friends on Facebook?
I saw that.
I tried to watch the video and it wouldn't let me watch a stupid video. So I was like, aw.
I know, 5 years ago today. I know, isn't it kind of amazing how fast time flies?
It really is. Jeez. The kids have changed a lot in 5 years, and you and I are still as fabulous as we ever were.
We are still amazing.
That's right.
We are amazing. And I think I definitely knew you for at least a year before that.
I think so. We knew one another, but weren't really like, we'd like say hello, but not like friends, but we weren't like, really.
Yeah, engaging or anything. Yeah.
And now. So,
And now?
And now you're cheers. Like, now cheers. This is not hot and it's not coffee.
That's correct.
And it's freaking delightful.
It truly is.
It really is.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we ready?
I think so.
So, the... that's how I feel right now.
That's fine.
All right. Cut all that out. Okay.
All right. This is from Athena. The politically incorrectly named Midget Mansion is one of the most beloved urban... I'm going to start that again because that was terrible. This is from Athena. The politically incorrectly named Midget Mansion is one of the most beloved urgent... I cannot believe I f***ed it up a second time.
What's the word?
Urban.
Oh, urban.
And I keep saying urgent.
Yeah. Okay. I'm telling you, it's just a weird time. Okay.
Well, and I mean, it's a weird time of day. We either record like after dinner or in the morning, and this is neither. And, you know, if we have to record in the afternoon, it's like early afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a weird time. And it's not Friday.
And it's not Friday.
We always record on Friday.
We do.
So our mojo is a little like tweaked.
It's a little off. Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to do this one more time.
Wait. Salut. Salut. That will help. Okay. 200,000. Sorry, I can't even say.
200,000?
Yeah.
She'd been drinking too much eggnog. Thank you so much for listening. We know you make a choice when you listen to us. We don't just come on the radio. If you liked the show, if you like the show normally, if you like this particular clip show, please do share with a friend. We love it when you share with friends because it's so much more fun when you listen to the show and you can talk about it with a friend later. Rate and review anywhere you get your podcasts. That really does help us get found, and we want to get found so that we can continue to make this show. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and wash your hands.